Morning, everybody. My name is John, and I'm part of the pastoral team here if you're new to the meeting place. We are going through a book series called The Good and Beautiful God. And what it is we are discovering is that we have an opportunity to know God the way Jesus knew and understood who God the Father was. And it's a crazy thing to consider that we could know God the way Jesus knows God. Because we somehow think that God is often distant or removed, or we don't feel God's presence. We don't speak in ways which often indicate that God is close and personally connected to us. And I often think of the different ways that we can experience and talk about God. And today we want to talk about what it is to experience God as trustworthy. God is someone who always is there and comes through for you. When our kids were small, my daughter was in nursery school in the same school that my wife was the grade one teacher. And so what would happen is after school, Jillian would go and hang out in mom's class until I got there to pick them up. And there's this long hallway, which is now all quiet. The kids have all gone home. And I'd walk into the hall, and while I'm at the front doors, I would just whistle. And all of a sudden, you would hear these feet. And Jillian would run the full length of the hall as fast as four-year-old feet could carry her. And she would launch herself at me. And she literally threw herself into my arms. If I wasn't prepared to pick her up at that moment, I better not have whistled. Because she absolutely believed that I would catch her. The other day, I walked into the house, and she's 16, and I whistled. And she says, "Don't go there, Dad." You know, she believes that I would still try, probably, but she's not sure that I could. You see, she understands that a 16-year-old launching herself into a dad's arms is probably a little bit more dangerous at full speed than a 4-year-old. She has a version of dad that is limited, and dad may not actually be able to come through. Dad may not be trustworthy on this one. Think of the ways we talk about God. We might say something when we're hoping that something will happen, we'll knock on wood. And in that very phrase, knock on wood, we're saying something about our belief system. It's a little superstitious, and we're not quite sure that things will turn out how we hope. Or maybe based on what's happened on the drive to work that morning, or what happened as you're on your way to school, you'll say something like, "I must have bad karma today." And in that saying, we're giving away a cause and effect view of how the world works. Where when you do good, good things happen to you. When you do bad, bad things happen to you. And if bad things happen, I must have done something to deserve this. We give away our convictions about what we actually functionally believe. So what do we believe in about God? You know, often the places that we get our very richest stories is in the movies. And the movies actually have a remarkable way of shaping the way we see the world. We go, "Oh yeah, but it's just a movie." Well, it's just a movie. When my little girl was 4 years old and I told her fairy tales, the reason we told fairy tales is because there's a moral in the story that teaches you to be and become a certain kind of thing, a certain kind of person, and helps you understand good and evil and right and wrong. And so we have a world filled with kids who are princes and princesses and Cinderellas because the story told them who they were and how the world worked. Well, the movies do the same thing for us, and they tell us a lot about how we see God. One of my favorite movies is a football movie. It's Rudy. It's a few years old. And there's a one-minute clip in it where Rudy, who wants to make the football team at Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, and he's desperate for a shot at the chance, finds himself in his church talking with his priest. Just take a look at this and ask yourself the question, what kind of God does Rudy believe in?
Taking your appeal to a higher court.
I'm desperate. If I don't get in next semester, it's over, done. Notre Dame doesn't accept senior transfers.
Well, did a hell of a job, kid. Chasing down your dream.
I don't care what kind of job I did. If it doesn't produce results, it doesn't mean anything.
I think you'll discover that it will.
Maybe I haven't prayed enough.
I'm sure that's not the problem. Praying is something we do in our time. The answers come in God's time.
Have I done everything I possibly can? Can you help me?
Son, in 35 years of religious studies, I've come up with only two hard, incontrovertible facts. There is a God, and I'm not him.
So what kind of God does Rudy believe in? Think of the words that were said. If it doesn't produce results, it doesn't mean anything. Maybe I haven't prayed enough. And then he asks, have I done everything that I possibly can? In a sense, the God of Rudy's convictions is like a vending machine. If I put enough quarters in, eventually I'll be able to get the Coke out. If I put enough action into this, I should get the results I'm looking for. In other words, without saying it, we actually believe that God can be bought, that God can be swayed by us doing all of the right things. We can earn our relationship with God. Is that the kind of God that you believe in? It's the kind of God that by the use of words, Rudy says he believes in. There's another movie, also a few years old, Bruce Almighty. And in it, Bruce is having a very bad day. In fact, most of his life is very bad, it seems. And there's a one-minute clip in here that gives away what his view of God is. Take a look at it and ask yourself the question, what kind of God does Bruce believe in?
Well, thank God you're all right.
God, yeah, let's thank God, shall we? For his blessings are raining down upon me. Wait, that's not rain!
Bruce, please don't do that, honey. You know that everything happens for a reason.
That I don't need. That is a cliche. That is not helpful to me. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I have no bird. I have no bush. God has taken my bird and my bush.
Oh, I see. So God is picking on you? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's ignoring me completely. He's far too busy giving Evan everything he wants. Oh, that's great, Sam. But you missed your target. I'm over here!
Don't get mad at the dog. It's not the dog's fault.
No, it's God's fault. You gave him the wrong coordinates.
All right, you know what? Enough. All right, will you just stop being such a martyr?
I am not being a martyr. I'm a victim. God is a mean kid sitting on an anthill with a magnifying glass, and I'm the ant. He could fix my life in 5 minutes if he wanted to, but he'd rather burn off my feelers and watch me squirm.
All right, sweetheart, I know that you're mad. It's completely understandable. What Evan did is slimy and wrong. But this day could have been so much worse. I'm just glad you're okay.
Okay? Newsflash! I'm not okay. I'm not okay with a mediocre job. I'm not okay with a mediocre apartment. I'm not okay with a mediocre life!
I've never had an apartment that nice. That's not a mediocre apartment. But what kind of view of God does Bruce have? Who is the God of Bruce's real belief system? Well, we find that God in this story is an impersonal, inaccessible, unpredictable God. Often when things go bad, evidently a cruel God, because if God is all-powerful and bad things happen, then God must be picking on me. You know, we hear those words, everything happens for a reason. That cliche that Bruce in the movie identifies. And he says, is God picking you? No, God has forgotten about me. He's ignoring me. He's leaving me alone. Is a God like this worthy of trust? Is a God like this worthy of being followed? And Bruce's basic mentality is, I am a victim. And that means if I am a victim, then God is the perpetrator. You know, one of the reasons that people, when they go to court in a criminal proceeding, witnesses are very apprehensive because they are going to face their perpetrator when they give a witness testimony. And they know this person is already not trustworthy. That's why they're there. And so when you consider following God, you're saying, can I trust God? There's another powerful story that tells one of the cultural narratives about who God is. And it's in a more recent movie called The Adjustment Bureau. And the code word for God in this movie really is the chairman. Take a look at this story, this couple of minutes that comes right at the end of the movie. It's not the very end, so it doesn't give everything away.
Did you really think you could reach the chairman and change your fate if you did, or write your own? It doesn't work like that, and I told you why.
I've got a message for you.
I understand.
Even Thompson has a boss.
Harry? You're the chairman?
No. You've met him, though. Or her. And everybody has. The chairman comes in a different form to everyone, so people rarely realize when it happens.
Is this some sort of test?
In a way. It's all a test. For everybody, even the members of the Adjustment Bureau. David, you risked everything for Elise. And Elise, when you came through that door at the Statue of Liberty, you risked everything too. But you inspired me. Seems like you inspired the chairman too.
Is that about us?
Yes.
What does it say?
It says that this situation between the two of you is a serious deviation from the plan. So the chairman rewrote it.
Okay. Now what?
Now. You can take the stairs.
What kind of God is portrayed here? What kind of version of who God is portrayed? Do you think you could really reach the chairman? You think you could change your fates if you tried? See, the version of God that we see here is one where God is unreachable, unknown, behind the scenes. In fact, God is somehow different to every person. And this is a very popular view of who God is in our world. And God is playing games with our lives. And finally, when he can't manipulate us anymore, he might give us what we want. Is that a view of God that's worthy of trust? What about the God that Jesus knows? See, in Scripture, Jesus presents us with an understanding and an experience and a story of God that is completely different. His disciples are gathered with him, and he's teaching them. And it's not that Jesus is a better storyteller than anybody else. It's that he has a better story. Jesus reveals God in a way that was new to the disciples and is for many of us today in this room. Even though we follow God for some time, probably still in some ways new to us. Jesus presents God as a father. And the way he does it is he invites us to learn the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is about learning a relationship, not learning a pattern of words. But here's the pattern of words. You might even want to say it with me. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And you go, that's the God you're introducing us to? That's the God that Jesus revealed to us? Well, the first problem that many of us have is really in the first words, Father. We got father issues. We got daddy issues. But Jesus introduces us to a God who he's intimately connected with. The best word for father is Abba, one who's he's affectionately known. Daddy. The same little girl that ran down the hallway shouted the words, "Daddy," as she threw herself into my arms. And Jesus is going, could you imagine having that kind of relationship with God? And if there's a problem in this world, it's that too many of us as dads have screwed up people's view of who God is because we haven't done a very good job too often. I confess there's a moment when my kids were about 8 and 10 years old and I was traveling 100 or 120 days a year. And it seemed to them that I was gone about half the time. And my kids made a comment one night that Dad's got to quit his job because we want him to be at home. And I realized that the version of Dad I was giving them was an absentee dad. And I thought, is that the kind of version of God that they will have because of it? And I'll tell you that within a week, actually, of making that comment, I quit my job because not only did I not want to be an absentee dad, I didn't want them to have a view of God as an absentee father either. And hallowed be your name. You know, hallowed is one of those words that we don't really use. In fact, if anybody's used the word, apart from praying this prayer in the past week, please tell me afterwards and I'll buy you coffee. We just don't use this word very much. But hallowed means really honorable, respectable, dependable, someone who is absolutely trustworthy and worth our deep admiration, worth our worship. And is God of Jesus' knowing really that good? You know, the word hallowed means there's nothing bad about the Father God that Jesus is introducing us to. And then he goes, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, many of the stories that we tell, whether it's Rudy or whether it's Bruce or whether it's the story in the Adjustment Bureau, indicates that there's a plan in life. And many of us agree that God is somehow involved in this plan, but we don't agree how God is involved in this plan. The remarkable thing is that the plan, as we see in Scripture, the plan as we find through Jesus is to have a restored relationship with God. It's not actually about which car we buy or which career we pursue or how things go on the test and the exam that we're facing if you're in university right now. That's not the plan that God is talking about. The plan that God is talking about is having a remarkable relationship with the God who created you and wants to know you intimately, the way that the word daddy would imply. And then it says, give us this day our daily bread. Do you believe? Do I believe that God provides? I have to say that based on the storyline in the movies, Rudy has it as an open question. He will do everything, but he's still not confident. In fact, he's terrified that it won't happen. And Bruce is sure that God is cruel. He's not a provider. And in the Adjustment Bureau, there's this sense of God is unknowable, so how could I believe that God would provide for me? And the God that Jesus introduces us to is the God who provides for us and lead us not into temptation. Now, who would say that Bruce had the sense that God was out to get him? That God actually had a vendetta. God had an agenda to screw up Bruce's life. And sometimes, based on the circumstances of our lives, we go and we ask those kinds of questions. They cross our minds legitimately because we've faced some pretty hard stuff. In fact, when our lives are falling apart, we often ask these questions. Is God trustworthy? Or is he out to get me? God is not out to get you, Jesus says. He says he doesn't play that game. And then lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Not only does God not play that game, God's desire is that you would experience his protection. As a dad, one of the things that infuriated me is when I would come home and I would hear about a scrap on the schoolyard. And I would say, really? He did that to you? And everything in me rises up to protect. Or my sister, when I was younger, any guy that was interested in her had to go through me. I was pretty protective. And imagine a God whose desire is to protect you, to stand up for you, to look out for your best interests. That's the God that Jesus introduces us to. So would you just say this prayer with me again? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Oh yeah, there's that thing that I skipped over, forgiveness. A remarkable thing is we often try to skip over forgiveness in our lives. We often try to say, well, it's okay. Somebody will apologize and say, oh, it doesn't matter. Don't mention it. Well, actually, it does matter. That's why they apologized. And we somehow withheld forgiveness from them. And I was recently reminded of this when somebody said, I heard you apologize. I never heard you ask for forgiveness. And it was a very good reminder for me of the important place of forgiveness. I have a friend who, for many years, was responsible for bad debt collection for a major company here in the city. His responsibility was dealing with companies that owed more than $1 million and weren't paying. And he said, after one day, we were sitting at VJ's, and it was very bad, and we're just enjoying a hamburger out in the spring sun, which we haven't had yet this year. We haven't had our annual hamburger out there together this year. And he's going, I am sick of this because I just want to forgive this debt so that I don't have to chase these people anymore. He says, in fact, what I'd like to do is I'd like to get rid of this job, buy a Dairy Queen, and serve people happiness all day. You see, the problem with unforgiveness is it stirred up in my friend deep anger. And he was sick and tired of encountering people with whom he had outstanding accounts. His desire was to just forgive the debt so that they could be in relationship again. See, we are introduced to a God who loves to forgive us and loves us to experience what it is to be forgiving so that we can just serve happiness all day. You see, having no accounts that are outstanding is really a definition of serving happiness far more than working at Dairy Queen. You see, Jesus introduces us to a Father who wants to do and be all of these things in our relationship. But I have to say that I've probably given my kids daddy issues. I don't know. All the dads out there, would you just do me a favor and raise your hands? Just want to tell you that you're not God. Though sometimes I confess I've acted like it. And if you're sitting beside your kids and they look at you, they'll go, yes, sometimes you've acted like it. You know, God wants us to be a great demonstration of what a father is, but the fatherhood of God defines what it means for me to be a dad, not the other way around. The way I'm a dad doesn't define who the fatherhood of God, what the fatherhood of God is. And that's an amazing thing. So question is, can you trust God? Jesus asked the disciples at one point, he was saying, are any of you weary or burdened? Then come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, when we're facing the hardest times in our lives, when the burdens are heavy, when pulling is just tough, that's when God especially wants to be in relationship with us, where he wants to show himself as someone who is dependable, somebody who is forgiving, somebody who is ready to come through with for us, somebody who's ready to be in relationship, someone who wants to invite us into a life filled with purpose and adventure. What is Jesus' yoke? What is Jesus' burden? He says, it's easy. Well, the story behind a yoke and a burden is that every rabbi had a set of teachings that illustrated who God was and applied the scripture. And many religious leaders, and this is the genius of religion, is laid on rules. And so the yoke, the rules, the weight of religion was just too heavy for many people to bear. And Jesus says, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. I want to introduce you not to a religion, but to God who is a father who's not laying on you more expectations. So the question I have for you today is, what is your burden? What are the anxieties that you carry? Would you be willing to trust them into a God, hands of a God who presents himself as a father, absolutely trustworthy? There's a moment where my daughter and I were sitting at the counter probably about a year ago. In fact, almost exactly a year ago. And she asked me for something. And my desire immediately was to give it to her. I have no idea what it was she asked me anymore. I forget that. But I'll never forget the laughing look on her face when she goes, how does it feel around there, Dad? You know what? God actually wants to be in the kind of relationship where we literally have him wrapped around our fingers, not because we're manipulating him, but because we have that kind of tender affection for each other. Jesus introduces us to a God which is completely different. God is personal. And so today, if you would like to experience God personally, I want to invite you to hear the words of Jesus when he says in John, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." You see, God is trustworthy. He has your best interests in mind. And it's through Jesus that we experience a better story of who God is than the one available in the movie.